Have you ever been in love? If so, you know that it can be one of life's most thrilling and most destabilizing experiences. If you'd like to enjoy the positive side of romance while dialing down the craziness, check out these big ideas from How to Love Someone Without Losing Your Mind, Forget the Fairy Tale and Get Real by Todd Barrett. Todd is a psychotherapist and sex therapist, and he joins us now to share five big ideas from his book.
Hi, I'm Todd Barrett, a licensed psychotherapist and certified sex therapist with over 14 years of experience working with individuals and couples. My book, How to Love Someone Without Losing Your Mind, Forget the Fairy Tale and Get Real, is born from a blend of personal experiences, professional encounters, and a deep philosophical interest in the cultural evolution of love. Today, I'm excited to share five key insights from my book, which challenge the conventional wisdom about relationships. These insights are designed to deepen your understanding of yourself and your relationships, moving beyond the superficial to embrace a more meaningful engagement with your own history, emotional landscape, and the people around you. My goal is to help you cultivate a life narrative that's rich and fulfilling, encouraging a reevaluation of how we connect in a world that often prioritizes fleeting interactions over genuine connection. Insight number one, self-awareness begins with your intergenerational story. Before we can begin to explore our current relational or general life challenges, we must know the intergenerational story of our family. Without this information, we are navigating relational machinery in the dark. All relational dynamics and emotional challenges stem not just from our own experiences in the here and now, but from unresolved issues of previous generations. This insight encourages a deep dive into our familial histories to uncover and heal patterns that have perpetuated through time, providing a path for breaking cycles of trauma. It emphasizes the importance of acknowledging these hidden narratives to foster understanding and healing across generations. I explored this with my mother and father, exploring the patterns that have persisted through generations in my family. I also encourage my clients to uncover their own intergenerational stories by interviewing their family members. And what do we find? We often carry narratives that seem uniquely ours, shaped by our personal experiences, but these stories are not entirely our own. Instead, they are inherited stories about the world, our partners, and ourselves that have been passed down from our parents and from their parents before them. Connecting with these intergenerational experiences allows us to take a broader view of our lives and develop a deeper, more meaningful connection to our life experiences rather than merely evaluating them against social norms or our immediate emotional reactions. The exploration of intergenerational trauma naturally leads us to insight number two, which delves deeply into how these inherited narratives influence our personal lives and relationships through our own emotional triggers. Insight number two. Understanding emotional triggers is the key to a better life. Emotional triggers, rooted in past traumas, present us with both potential and opportunity if we're open to uncovering the hidden meanings within. This insight stresses the importance of recognizing these triggers, managing them thoughtfully, and utilizing them as opportunities for corrective emotional experiences in our adult relationships. This approach also promotes acceptance and compassion through the meaningful interpretation of our emotional responses. For those unfamiliar with the concept, triggers can be thought of as an emotional memory that arises as a reactionary response to present-day events, often involving our partners, which parallel deep-seated past experiences. These responses are not arbitrary. They serve as potent reminders of unresolved wounds. Typically, a trigger is activated by something in the here and now of our current environment, be it a word, tone, gesture, or even a smell. It subconsciously recalls a past trauma or deeply embedded fear. My book guides readers through identifying their triggers, understanding what activates them, and the reasons behind these activations. This knowledge not only aids in managing immediate emotional reactivity that can lead to significant disconnection and unnecessary conflict, but also in understanding their origins, which is crucial for long-term emotional and relational growth. For example, someone who experienced attachment trauma through deep neglect might feel as if minor disappointments by their partner or are severe betrayals. The intense hurt they feel harks back to early experiences with caregivers. And understanding this dynamic can transform a potential conflict into a chance for sharing personal histories and building mutual interest, understanding, and patience between partners. Approaching triggers with curiosity rather than fear allows us to unravel the layers of our emotional reactions. This process fosters a more empathic view towards ourselves and others, helping to dismantle the unnecessarily harsh judgments that often accompany triggered reactions. It also creates opportunities for what we therapists call corrective emotional experiences, interactions or moments that challenge old patterns and offer new, healthier outcomes, rewiring our brains and demonstrating that past traumas don't have to define our current realities. An example I provide in the book is one from my own life. It involves accidentally damaging my partner's car. I anticipated severe repercussions, similarly to the punishments I received as a child for mistakes. However, finding me to fix the car in the garage, my partner hugged and reassured me, teaching me that I can make mistakes and still receive love. This is how we heal in the context of our adult relationships. But such healing is impossible without a deeper understanding of our intergenerational trauma and how our personal traumas during childhood and adolescence are invariably triggered in the present with partners and dates. The discomfort we experience when confronting our emotional triggers is not merely an obstacle. It is a catalyst for growth. By working through the pain these triggers expose us to, we can directly engage with the areas in our lives where we most feel vulnerable and consequently where there is greatest potential for personal development. This recognition of pain as a crucial element of growth leads us seamlessly into insight number 3, the indispensable role of pain and suffering in the human experience. Insight number 3, pain is necessary for growth, especially in relationships. The concept that growth and meaningful relationships emerge from enduring pain and challenges may seem counterintuitive, and indeed, it can be downright disheartening. It's important to clarify, however, that the type of pain and suffering referenced here does not include abuse or any form of unsafe dynamics. Rather, I am speaking of the everyday disappointments, frustrations, and even moments of hatred we might feel towards others or ourselves in the world at large. This insight challenges the conventional pursuit of constant happiness and positivity as life's ultimate goal, proposing instead that true fulfillment is found through engaging with life's inherent difficulties and extracting meaning from them. This understanding requires a radical acceptance of pain as a vital opportunity for profound personal growth, urging a shift in perspective from avoiding discomfort to embracing it as a catalyst for deep transformative experiences. Such a perspective, while nuanced and potentially disappointing, is crucial for building a sense of purpose and deeper connections. Entering relationships with the expectation of unending joy sets us up for greater distress when inevitable disappointments occur. By recognizing that challenges are an intrinsic part of life, we arm ourselves with the tools to handle, understand, tolerate, and effectively work through these difficulties. This is the definition of resilience. Pain, manifested as emotional suffering like disconnection, rupture, loneliness, and the crucial acts of repair or connection, fundamentally shapes all relationships. It is through facing and navigating these painful experiences, not retreating from them or overreacting, that we achieve growth. Engaging actively with this pain and seeking to comprehend its roots allows us to evolve and deepen our personal and relational lives. This process not only enhances our resilience, but also enriches our understanding of what it means to live fully and love deeply. As we recognize the vital role of pain in fostering growth within our relationships, we must also consider the profound transformations that occur when those relationships end, bringing me to the next insight of my book, A Reframing of the End of Grief and Loss Itself. Insight number 4, relational endings are to be embraced just as beginnings. In my book's chapter titled The Endish, I delve into the cultural stigma around relational endings. Often viewed as failures or losses, these endings are frequently categorized by a sense of defeat rather than opportunities for growth and personal discovery. Society celebrates love's beginnings with anniversaries, weddings, and holidays like Valentine's Day, yet often ignores and trivializes, even shames, the importance of how relationships end. However, these endings are just as critical, if not more so, in shaping our lives and personal development. Life is inherently filled with uncertainty and change. From the finality of death to the heartache of breakups, our existence is a continuous flow of beginnings and endings. Yet culturally, we are conditioned to celebrate beginnings with fervor while quietly suffering through the grief of an ending. This skewed perspective can lead us to view relational endings as personal failures rather than as integral parts of our life's narrative. I advocate for a major reframe, viewing relational endings as new beginnings, rich opportunities for development and self-reflection. Despite the pain that accompanies these endings, each conclusion marks the start of a new chapter in our personal journeys. Embracing this perspective allows us to see each ending not as a point of closure, but as a launch pad for growth and renewal. By recognizing the transformative potential of relationship endings, we challenge the cultural norms that undervalue these experiences and begin to appreciate the full spectrum of life's relational experiences. Every ending paves the way for fresh starts and new connections, meaning we have the opportunity to build relationships that are better than the last. This perspective is crucial as we move into our next insight, redefining what it means to find the one. If we are to learn from intergenerational stories, our triggers, accept our pain, and embrace relational endings, we must also learn how to move forward. This includes forming new relationships or even renewing and transforming our existing relationships with the same person into something stronger and more meaningful. Insight number 5, the myth of the one and the reality of the good enough relationship. In today's society, the quest for the one has commodified modern love into a shopping experience brimming with high expectations for finding the perfect partner. This pervasive myth champions the belief that each of us is destined for one ideal match, designed to fulfill all our emotional and relational needs. Unfortunately, this fantasy sets us up for a cycle of constant disappointment and relational anxiety. Instead of clinging to this unattainable ideal, I advocate for a significant paradigm shift, discarding these unrealistic expectations and embracing the journey of building relationships through effort, understanding, and mutual growth. Focusing on the messy reality of human connections rather than the polished fantasy sold by media and pop culture allows us to reshape our approach to love and companionship in profound ways. It compels us to mature beyond the simplistic and often juvenile notions of romance that permeate our cultural landscape. By engaging in a process of active learning and application, rather than merely evaluating and intellectualizing potential relationships, we cultivate a presence that fosters the building and maintaining of deeper connections and significantly reduces relational anxiety. This mature approach is essential for everyone, whether dating, in short-term or long-term relationships, or even those married for decades. The pervasive anxiety of questioning, am I with the wrong person, or could there be someone better, permeates all relational dynamics. By being present and focused on genuinely learning and connecting, we confront these fears, allowing for stronger, more resilient relationships. Moreover, what we truly need is not the one, but rather a partner who is just good enough. This doesn't mean settling for less, but recognizing that no one person can fulfill our needs. A good enough partner is someone whose limitations we accept while building a fulfilling relationship through shared effort and respect. True companionship comes from an understanding that fulfillment must be found within ourselves first. Our partners enhance our lives rather than complete them. By stepping away from the fairy tale narrative and challenging the commercialization of love, we recognize that true companionship is not found but formed through shared experiences and trials. It requires courage to face the inherent complexities of human relationships and the bravery to let go of neatly packaged ideals sold to us. Love, in its truest form, is not marketable because its essence lies in the unique, often challenging interactions between us individuals. And embracing this reality, we not only enhance our personal relationships, but foster deep self-understanding. The shift away from idealized projections towards a more grounded, realistic perspective is what truly prepares us for the demands and beauties of lasting love. At the core of each of these 5 insights is a moment of pause, a critical analysis, and a reframe. We all tend to move at an automatic, reflexive pace, existing within a culture that favors simplicity and lacks nuance. Complexity is often undervalued. Yet, this book shifts our focus back to what is truly important in our lives, which is meaning and purpose. Not merely the pursuit of happiness or quick fixes for our problems. It teaches us how to understand ourselves, our families, our partners, and the world around us in order to build a life that is more purposeful and meaningful. This approach encourages a deeper engagement with our own lives and the relationships that define them, promoting a richer, more contemplative way of living.
Thank you, Todd. That was Todd Barrett's with 5 big ideas from How to Love Someone Without Losing Your Mind. Forget the fairy tale and get real. Also, check out our book bite for It's Not Me, It's You, Break the Blame Cycle, Relationship Better by John Kim and Vanessa Bennett. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.